are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Traditional gender roles have defined the expectations for men in society, leaders, providers, as them being leaders, providers, protectors. However, there are roles, these roles are actually evolving with modern cultures challenging what it means to be a man, right? So in today's discussion with Pastor Chinyama here, we're going to be examining how Christian men can navigate the shifting landscape of gender roles while staying rooted to their biblical principle of what the Bible has taught them what a man is. So we are joined on the line by my pastor, Pastor Chinyama. Good morning, Mfundisi Murubwanje.
Good morning. Thank you. Terebuena Murubwanje.
Terebuena. I hope you are well, my pastor, and the weekend was lovely.
Very well, thank you. The weekend was lovely, very busy, as always.
Yes, indeed, indeed. Mfundisi, before we start speaking about all things men and gender roles, I'm going to ask that, can you please offer a word of prayer first?
All right, let us pray together. Our God and our Father, Holy One of Israel, Lion of the tribe of Judah, we glorify your holy name this lovely hour of the morning. May you be with us. May you bless us. Let divinity preserve over every discussion that will take be with all the listeners in studio and across the globe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. I'm seeing that the network is a bit troubled. Should I give you a direct call, maybe?
But I'm able to get you okay. Clearly, and I assume, yeah, if the worst goes to the worst, we can always switch.
All right, perfect. Mfundisi, we're speaking about all things gender roles, right? What maketh a man? It's quite interesting most of the time when we speak about this one, more especially when it comes to provisions. But I promise I'm not going to stick to that one today. So, what are some traditional gender roles associated with men? And how have these shaped our societies all around the world?
All right. First and foremost, when we talk about traditional gender roles, we are talking about values, we are talking about methods and models of doing things as passed on from our parents, our forefathers, even ancestors, if we can put it that way. So now, what are these some traditional gender roles that are associated with men, and how can they be shape societal expectations? Number one, a grown up man who is called a man, not just a male, is expected to be a provider, okay. Especially when they call somebody their wife. They have this woman they've brought, they have to be a provider, meaning whatever cost it takes, they have to go out there, hustle. As long as the hustle is okay, it's a holy hustle, it's friendly, they have to provide, breadwinning. And then the other thing is dominance. It's the expectation of the society to see a man dominate. What do we mean by this? Whenever there's a challenge and a decision has to be made, it is expected of a man of that particular house to have the final say. Not where you ask this man, "Oh, what should we do about this other portion of land?"
Yeah.
Then this man says, "Okay, let me ask my wife." Then when you just hear that scenario, then okay, the dominance could be there, but not really there. So a man is expected to dominate. You may have the final say. Not that you are bossing your wife, no, but at least it's expected of you to say, okay, if the man approves, and then the wife also accepts whatever that man has approved, then it's okay. So that's the issue of dominance. Then strength, it's required of a man to be strong, not strong just physically, but even emotionally, mentally, psychologically, because in life we go through issues. It's not always that stuff is rosy and everything is well. Sometimes things just don't move well, but it's expected of a man to be strong. Okay, take for example physical strength before we come to the other parts. When children are playing and then they get to fight and then one of them is beaten, they will say, okay, you see, I'm going to tell my daddy. They will not say, I'm going to tell my mother. They will say, I'm going to tell daddy, because they expect this daddy to be strong. And when he comes, this daddy also, please be a strong daddy, you know, get some weights, do some gymming here and there, keep yourself physically sound. Then the confidence, you know, from our children will be like that. So we need to be strong. Then psychologically, we go through issues. We need to know how we can tread upon these issues. And then protector. It's expected of a man to protect a home. Let's say some noise. There's some noise outside, my sister. Look, there's some noise. And then your husband tells you, you know, I think I'm scared of sounds, crazy sounds in the night. I think you just check. But, you know, and my head is aching, so, and my leg is not really, really well. So just help me check and... you know, see who's outside. Why are the dogs barking so much?
Yeah.
So it's dependent upon the man to really protect the home. Be the first one to get the bullet, you know, before, so that it doesn't even come to your wife.
Yeah.
I think that's what I can.
And they're like, no, baby, go. You go check.
Come on now.
So we understand, you know, my pastor, you know, that there is evolution that is happening, you know, things are changing, you know. So how do these evolving cultural views on gender roles align or conflict with biblical teachings, you know, because our cultures are changing and we have seen that, and we know that the word of God does not change, you know. So as the culture is changing, whilst the word of God does not change, you know, how do they conflict? Or it doesn't, maybe sometimes it does not conflict, you know. How does that relationship work?
Okay, I love the statement you mentioned to say, in as much as there is change here, you know, on the side of man, but the word of God does not change. That's very, very true. So the word of God does not change. But now, how do these evolving cultural values, you know, align and conflict? Let's begin with why is there this evolution? Number one, there would be this change because of increasing knowledge at a general perspective. People now get to know, oh, so this thing is actually supposed to be like this. When I was young, from my parents, from my grandmother, my grandfather, you know, my older cousins, I perceived it in this way. So now, due to increasing knowledge on a general perspective in life, there is it brings about many changes. People change in the way in which they do things. Then again, evolution is caused about by technology. You know, the coming of technology has just made life simple. You can hear where we are talking, you know, far apart, but we are talking and the whole globe is tuned in, listening, wherever they are. That is evolution. Now, this evolution may be on the positive side or on the negative side, dependent upon the way in which it is used and embraced. I hope you're following up to that.
Yep.
You know, right in the time of up to the 1960s or so, towards the 1970s, many women, you know, they got to be able to step outside the home. It is known that a woman should be a nurturer, a caregiver, a homemaker, and a helper. But now, during the World War times, women remained home alone. You were home while your husband is at war.
Yeah.
And then now you need to eat. You don't have to ring him there. By the time you're calling him, a bullet will go into his leg or into his. So you who remains home as a woman, you go out, you know, and work. So it's during that time now that women stepped out and they knew, say, oh, so there are many other works we can do besides just cleaning the house, ironing, washing, and so on. So on the other part of being a helper, it is these gender roles are aligning now with the word of God, because a woman is really fulfilling her roles in totality as a helper according to Genesis chapter 1. She is a suitable helpmeet comparable to the man, and also Genesis 2. And so because of that part of change where a woman now can also work, a woman can get a degree, can get a master's, can even be a doctor, even be a vice president. I've heard, I think, a country that, I don't know if right now we have a country with a female president, but we have countries with female vice presidents, you know, and women in big, big positions. So the aligning part of this evolution is to the positive, because a woman now is able to help out. The man will not be able to pay all the fees of the kids, especially if God has gifted you with fertility, you know, genes, and then there are many children. You may not be able to take care of them, but if they're coming on board of a woman, the helper concept will surely achieve a great success. Then on the conflict part, on the conflict part, there's this notion, it's a demonic, you know, evil notion that says what a man can do, a woman can do. You know, this is not a biblical statement. It's a motto statement initiated by a man.
Okay.
It's not what a man can do that a woman can do. Uh-huh. There are things that men should do. There are roles, and there are roles that a woman should do. Get two women, you and your fellow, you know, woman, put you in a room, in a house, give you a nice furnished house with all the food and all the internet and so on. Then tell you to say after 2 years we are coming, we should find a child, a baby in this house who is at least 9 months or 10 months old. That will not happen. So what a woman can do, a man cannot do. What a man can do, a woman cannot do. Yeah, some things we may be able to do, but there are things that just pertain to men and things that pertain to women. And when we come together, we become one. We complement one another. So there's the aligning part and the helping, you know, and the success, and then we progress in that way. Then the conflicting part, where now gender is replacing what the Bible tends to be, you know, the norm. I think that's what I can pin down here.
You know, Mfundisi, you spoke about, you know, initially we spoke about, for example, the issue of provisions, the issues of men, you know, being providers, etc. I knew this was going to happen, but coming to that one, you know, I personally have a challenge, and every time we speak about this, you know, it's something that I do voice out, and I'm hoping one day, you know, I will be satisfied with the answer. Where because of these expectations, right, it's being drilled down from boys whilst they're still children up until they're growing up. And then because of the changes, we know we've just spoken about a little bit today, if me and you go to a job interview, I'm going to get employed, not you. You understand, whilst you from a young age have been taught that you are a provider. And then now those means of provisions, you know, they are now, there's some sort of a stumbling block that is there. So that is the challenge that I personally have in terms of that provision part of it. But you know, because it's said in the pews, it's said, you know, whenever we are preaching, whenever we're speaking about all things God, you know, is it something that is coming from the Bible in terms of this is the man's responsibility in terms of provisions? And also you can add them for this. So, I mean, the other responsibilities that you know the Bible is giving unto man, be it the family, be it the home, be it the society. You know, maybe one day I'll be comforted with the provision part, but if you can just talk to us about that and also some other responsibilities that you know the Bible has given unto men.
Okay, yeah, we can't avoid this responsibility part, because that's one of the key centers, especially in a home. And nowadays many homes are standing because of provision. They are breaking down because of the provision aspect, who should provide due to gender. Now, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, the Bible says, Genesis 2, verse 18, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." Now, when we see this word helper, it's not only to do with home issues that will be there. God is a God who knows, you know, the future. So he knew that all these changes will come because the knowledge will increase and many other developments that will come, you know, in the journey of man before I come to return to take them, to bring them to New Jerusalem. So this helper here means also provision.
Okay.
Means also to love. Now, the problem here we are seeing is that our wives today, they are saying, I was conducting a family life a seminar just a few weeks ago, and I had one of the biggest classes, a camp meeting set up. So on the part, the men complained here to say, you know what, Pastor, on the helping part, we are really finding it a challenge. That's why sometimes we are never home all the time. We are running up and down so that we make ends meet for ourselves, our wives, and our children, and family also. So the notable point I took note of there is one man said, Pastor, our wives say, my salary, meaning her salary, My salary is for me alone to buy my cosmetics, to buy my powder, my, new dress, and so on. But your salary, you as a husband, is for all of us. In fact, I even need part of your salary to also, get what I want. So on this part, for us to really be happy and just, continue to love one another without having moods, unnecessary moods in the home, because someone feels they are overworking, they are a burden. We need to, women have to come on board. In as much as the society, yes, and the Bible requires a man to be the first one to provide. But dear wives, as you are listening out there, your salary is not for you alone. Your salary also should be the one that will come buy some groceries, buy some cooking oil. There's no cooking oil, and you're waiting for your husband to come. Meanwhile, you have enough money to buy a 2 liter 750 mils of cooking oil. Like that, you'll be able to align with what the Bible says, a helpmeet. If you don't do that, dear wives, you are listening, you are in the conflicting part. You are not fulfilling your work as a helper. Yeah, you are being a spender, and that may burden your relationship, and you may feel as if your husband looks at you just as a mere dependent. He will now start to classify you as one of the properties he owns in the house. Let him not, don't be propertized. You be taken as a wife, a helper, someone who compliments him.
So, how does now the shifting of gender roles, Mfundiswami, impact men's mental and emotional well-being? And I'm happy that we're having this conversation just recently, because as you were saying, I'm the one who's bringing the bigger chunk, for example, in the home, whilst the husband, he's trying, Shem, he's trying, but because of that, from a young age, they've been trained that you are the provider, but now they're not being the providers, how does it now help the men? How does it affect their mental health? How does it affect, the way in which their emotional well-being, because they are not trained up to be like that?
Okay, that's a big question, my moderator, and it should have big thoughts there. So let us see. You see, boys that are in school, grade 7 and below, there's this tendency of not wanting a girl to pass you in, the results as you, who has passed number one. If it's a girl, I mean, oh my God, the boys will really be devastated in that class. How can a girl, pass me and pass number one? How can I trail behind? So you can see that it starts from a young age. How much more someone who is grown up?
Sure.
You've grown up and then you've gone to school. Okay, you've not gone to school. You're doing business. You're doing whatever to make ends meet. And then your wife, because of this improve in technology and increase in knowledge, your wife goes to school and she clears her degree, her diploma. She begins to work. There is a way in which we feel... It's normal for every husband, every man. You just feel this stress biting you and eating you up, seeing that your wife, number one, is making more money than you. Number two is even more popular because of her, work status and so on. I've seen men that have told their wives to say, if I'm not working, then even you, it's better you stay home. But now that's really not good. But otherwise, it brings stress upon a man, realizing that, so my wife has gone out, so it's me. I should wake up in the morning, wash the dishes, and prepare food for her. Sometimes we just feel and think, maybe when I look at my chest, I may just see breasts growing on my chest, because I'm fond of doing feminine work, and maybe people are picturing me. I'm putting clothes on the line outside. When people look at me, they're picturing me wearing a chitenge in 3D, So it basically, it just stresses a man out. But dear men out there, you're listening, there's no situation is permanent. If stuff ain't moving well for you, just pray to God. Encourage your wife. There's a reason why you are home that particular time.
Yes.
And the reason why the Lord has allowed your wife to work, because moreover, it's Him who gives good gifts, and every other good thing comes from God. And so just embrace her, support her, let her not be discouraged and be absent-minded at work, knowing that when I get back home, My husband will be moody. My husband will be annoyed. Not that you fought, but just the fact that you are feeling that you are home and your wife is better than you. She's not better than you. You are one flesh. She is complimenting you. So put away the stress and the emotional unwellness that may come upon you and just embrace her. Moreover, you can't compete with your partner. You can't compete with yourself.
Sure.
You are one flesh. So just get over that. Love your wife even more. You know, do things, wake up, sweep the house. You will not change to be a woman. And she will love you even more. Do the bed. Don't worry. You wake up last. You want her to come and do the bed when she left you in bed. No, no, no. Yeah. Do the bed. You know, she will be able to be happy. And you will help yourself emotionally. You will even live long. Avoid unnecessary stress.
So as we wrap up, Mfundiswami, you know, how can now the Christian communities, you know, help men navigate the tensions between traditional roles and modern expectations? You know, for example, you were saying now that they should do the bed. Abanye, they would say, yay, that's the biggest taboo ever. You know, I remember earlier this year, I met some pastors from your home country there. And, you know, it was towards Sabbath. And they're like, they wished that we could wrap up whatever session we're attending so that I could go home and prepare and everything else. I was like, no, I mean, I'm fine. You know, my husband is preparing, you know. I could see they changed them. Like, wait, Kanti, don't you? They're like, no. We do want to, but we're going to be chased out of the kitchen. You know, so how then do we balance those traditional, beliefs and the modern ones? That it's okay if you walk into the house and see the dad, you know, wearing an apron cooking there. You know, it's okay for them to do 1, 2, 3, 4 instead of saying, "Bon, I'm the man of the house. I'm gonna just sit and read the newspaper." It is. So how can the Christian community now help the other men to understand that we are all evolving? The word of the God has not changed. Relax, but culture has changed.
Okay. The Christian community has a vital role in navigating the tension between traditional roles and these so-called modern 21st century, if not 22nd century expectations. Why? Because the Christian community knows both sides, meaning you know the bad side of not helping and letting all responsibilities be upon one person. And the Christian community, again, knows the good side. So we are on the advantageous side. The world out there, friends will tell a colleague to say, no, you can't go home, you can't cook, you know, even if you know how to cook, but let that be done by your wife because, look, you are a man, you are supposed to dominate, you know, you're just supposed to sit and provide. But a Christian community, somebody from this community knows to say, sometimes my wife has just delivered. My wife is unwell. Surely, how do you expect a woman who has just delivered to go and prepare food for you? Already, she is weak physically. And so you, who is coming from a Christian community, you know the good and bad side. So we have a big task to embrace the good side and see how we can educate in a way, in a loving manner, to those that are just fixed in the traditional aspect. Because these in the traditional, they are just focused on one side, and that's just the bad side. No, me, I can't do this, should be done by my wife. Me, I can do this, should be done by my husband. But those of us that are privileged to be in the Christian community, we should be able to navigate and be able to accommodate, even as we nicely train and impart these roles upon those that are just fixed on tradition. When we go to Acts 5 verse 29, we are brought to a time when the apostles were put to trial, but Peter there answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. So tradition ultimately is the voice of man. It may not all be bad, but we need to weigh, is it conflicting with the principles of God? Then when we weigh, we'll be able to offer correct advice, to tell a man to say, when your wife is tired, when your wife is busy, held up at work, even as she comes, let her prepare a meal. You'll be the one to let her find a meal. You'll be the one to prepare a meal. You know, you are also benefiting from that. Let us inculcate such into the men out there. Otherwise, this issue of just letting somebody come back from work they haven't yet refreshed, they haven't yet changed. They start one cleaning the house, preparing homemaking, the place like that. Again, we will not be able to expect good results. And the church out there is made by a home. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth does what? Speaks.
Yes.
So the church out there is firstly a result of what the home has become. So if we can be able to navigate with wisdom, we seek wisdom from God right from home, we will not have issues in the church, we will not have issues in a society, we will not have a broken home and a broken church and a broken world out there. Why? Because we have mended the foundation. The foundation is we need to assess what is good and bad, what tradition you know, is bound to change, what tradition is bound to remain that we can continue to follow. In so doing, we will be an integral part as a Christian community.
Thank you so much, Mfundisi. I hope that the men were listening. I'm going to ask them that before we go, can you please offer a word of prayer for our men? You see, I'm saying our men. For the men, not our men, for the men, Mfundisi, so that, you know, they are able to integrate, you know, the gender roles, and they are able, you know, to evolve with culture and yet sticking and being rooted to the word of God.
Let us pray together. Father, in a very special way, we glorify your holy name. We thank you for this discussion that has come before us, reminding us as men of the things we are supposed to do, reminding us the tasks we are supposed to accomplish in this journey of life. Lord, even as we have learned from your word, Lord, help us to understand the deep desires and the deep needs that you have for each one of us. Even as we are positioned and placed in this battleground of tradition and also worldly activities, worldly ideas, Lord, help us as men to embrace your holy word, the Bible, because it's through your word that we will be able to integrate tradition and still either value it, uphold it, or make some amendments while not meandering from your principles. Lord, help us to be breadwinners. Help us to be spiritual leaders. Help us to be men that will ensure that the altar is constantly ignited in our homes. Help us love our wives, our women. Help us train our children. Help us walk with wisdom while we redeem the time, so that those that are outside will be able to learn something and follow the God that we follow. Father, may you bless the moderator and bless all the listeners out there. Keep us in good health and help us to always stand upon your principles. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, believing you've heard and you've answered our prayer. Amen and amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, thank you so much. May you have yourself a blessed day.
Thank you. Blessed day too.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.